Thank you, Lord.
Once again, for allowing us all to be in the house of God.
Amen.
Desire your prayers tonight. Have a particular topic, Satan's devices.
Yes.
The Lord impressed this message upon me strongly. So we need your prayers.
Yes.
That we'll be able to get it over to you as he gave it to us. I would like to turn to 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. I'm going to read verses 6 through 11. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise, ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes I forgave it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. As I meditated upon these scriptures, there are two trains of thought that you can look at in these passages. There is the part where the context of the individual that had apparently caused some problems amongst the Corinthian church, that it caused some issues with the Corinthians there, that Paul felt the need to address it. And as he spoke about this individual, there's not a lot of detail given about what their remorse and their sorrow was over the actions that they did. But he came to the realization that they needed to be forgiven. They needed to be allowed to be restored, that God might show his love through them. There's that train of thought. And then there's a train of thought about Satan's devices. In both of these cases, there's a common thread of Satan's intervention in sowing discord, sowing disunity among the people of the Corinthians. We all are familiar with some situations that have occurred over the years. Keep in mind, we're all humans.
Yeah. Yeah.
And God is looking down, and he's bigger than the mistakes that were made.
Amen.
This salvation that he has brought to this world is for every single one, and God does not look at us as denominations or groups or sects.
Right.
He looks at us as blood-washed Christians.
Amen.
By the blood of Christ. And what Satan likes to do is he likes to get in there and mix things up and cause things to happen, cause people to draw lines in the sand. Now this happened and I'm not going to cross over that line. But where is the love of God? Adam Clark said this: if the man who has given sufficient proof of the sincerity of his repentance be not restored, he may be overwhelmed with sorrow and sink into despair. And then the discipline of the church will be represented not as inventory or corrective, but as leading to destruction. Of this, our enemies would most gladly avail themselves, as they wish to discredit this ministry, and they're always at hand, a devil, to suggest evil and prompt men to do it. For in this respect, we have through acquaintance with his devices. Let us therefore be careful to remove both from Satan and his partisans all those occasions which might turn to disadvantage or disparagement of the gospel of Christ.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This is a solemn charge.
Yes.
We as people of God, under the grace dispensation, grow at different paces.
Yes. Yes.
We are dealing with the Holy Ghost and a God who is working in each person's soul what he desires to work.
Yes.
His design is to bring us all to the full measure of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In some areas of our life, it takes us a little bit longer than others. And what the enemy does is he takes us, and somebody might be up in this line, and another person may not be up in that line, and he causes things to come between them, and it causes division and disruption to the work of God and the cause of Christ.
Yes.
We have to be careful.
Amen.
In these situations.
Yes.
If I don't have enough love of God in my heart, you know what I'm going to end up doing? I'm going to end up looking at that person with those memories in my head of what they did. The scripture says love covers a multitude of sins. So it does not give me any recourse for holding that person for what they have done. In another place, it says, in meekness, restore such a one.
Yes. Yes.
Lest you be found there.
Yes.
We have seen many things over the years. Satan has been working since the early morning church was established to break people up.
Right.
Yet, we have one gospel truth that has come to this world.
Yes.
One other message that I preached at home, I looked up the number of denominations. 37,000 since Christ came and established the church. This is not what it's supposed to be like.
Amen.
How are we going to go to heaven with everyone that is blood washed, get into heaven, and we can't stand each other? You ever, often observe, I like to observe people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I observe, particularly when we go to Monarch camp meeting. There's some human tendencies we have.
Yeah.
You can see a group here.
Mm-hmm.
You can see a group there.
Yeah,
you can see a group over here, and you can see a group over there. Now, we are all blood-washed Christians.
Yes.
But it is our human nature to navigate to those whom we are comfortable with.
Right.
I want to challenge you, the next time you go to a large meeting, congregate with somebody you don't know and get to know them, because they have been washed by the same blood of Christ that you and I have been.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
This is what the world needs to see.
Yes.
They need to see the love of God working in and amongst us. And when I have someone that has gone off somewhere, maybe done something that has kind of alienated them, I've got to be like the prodigal son's father.
Yes.
When they come back down that road, I need to be ready to welcome them with open arms.
Yes.
Especially when they have fully shown that true repentance in their hearts.
Yes.
When we get to heaven, there isn't going to be this group over here. There's not going to be this denomination here. There's not going to be this age group over here. When John the Revelator saw the picture, he saw a number that could not be numbered, and he never named any of them.
Amen.
Lord, help us.
Yes.
The enemy has done this for too long.
Yes.
We are all blood-washed ones. And we all have an opportunity to have the Holy Ghost dwell within us. And when we see somebody we haven't seen in a long time, you know what happens? We get along like we've been talking the whole time.
That's right, Lord.
Yes. A couple weeks ago, I was on the phone with a brother that I don't know very well. We were discussing some things regarding some people that are close where we are. And we got to talking. We talked about 20 minutes. And he said, I felt like I have known you my whole life. That's the way it should be.
Amen.
For we are not ignorant of his devices.
Yes.
We know what the enemy wants to do. The scripture says what he came to do. He came to kill, steal, and destroy.
Right.
And if he can destroy the relationships within the church of God, he'll do it.
Yes.
And if we are one of those people that he can work through, he will. So Lord, help us. There's a song that the old saints used to sing. I remember I was a little child. It said that old time religion.
Come on.
Says, make me love everybody.
Yes.
If we don't have it, we need to get some more love.
Yes. Yes.
Because there is only one heaven we're going to.
Yes. Yes.
And Satan is not going to be there. It's going to be us and all our brothers and sisters that have ever walked this world, this earth, and accepted Christ at his plan.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now, you can also look at this 11th verse as it stands alone. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices.
Yes.
Now, this deals with us individually.
Yes.
Satan's wiles go just beyond just disrupting the unity of believers.
Mm-hmm.
He is constantly looking for an avenue to cause major disruption to the cause of God,
yes,
whether individually or collectively. We are instructed in the scriptures, Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Ephesians 4, verses 26 and 27. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Then there's a colon there. It says, neither give place to the devil.
Yes.
For we are not ignorant of his devices.
Yes.
If I give the devil an inch,
mm-hmm,
I promise you he's going to take a mile.
That's right.
Yes. I'm going to use this as an example. Come to church. Maybe you see your brother. You used to speak it. But for some reason, this particular Sunday, you make eye contact, but you never get to speak. You know what the devil does? Your brother didn't speak to you today. And if we're not careful, we'll entertain that. What was wrong with him? And we start having a conversation with the devil. Do you think my brother wasn't intentional that he didn't speak to me?
No.
Maybe he was in a hurry. So what should I be doing then? Lord, whatever situation going on in my brother's life, help him out.
Amen.
Not look at him now. And then sometimes, maybe the next week you see that brother and say, brother, how come you didn't speak to me? Are we that important? Do you see how the enemy works?
Right.
Whatever he can stick in there, he will.
Yeah. Right.
Some sort of doubt, some sort of lack of confidence, he'll put it in there if he can.
Yes.
And he'll work with us. He'll begin to talk to us.
Oh,
Satan's been around since God created the garden. Let me tell you something about Satan. Satan does not create anything. As much as I have searched the scriptures, Satan has never created anything.
Amen.
What he does is he uses what God has created and what man creates. And sometimes he has a few men that he has a hold of, and he gets them to create stuff. And his purpose is always to pervert its intentional use.
Right. That's right.
What did he do with Adam and Eve? There's this tree in the middle. They had every tree you could think of in that garden, and God told them you could eat all of them except that one. And Satan comes along. Eve is looking at the tree. Where should have Eve been? Somewhere other than the tree. And he began to talk to her. And you know what she did? She talked back to him. You and I can't reason with Satan. He has second power to God. And he knows the scriptures as well or more than we know. And he went to work on her. And that set his course. I can distract her. She started looking at that tree. And she told him, we're going to die if we eat that tree. And what does Satan say? You're not going to die. And you know what her mind went to? Natural. I'm not going to physically die. She never thought about that connection that she had with God at that particular point in time. Satan never brought that up. What if Satan would have said, oh, you're not going to physically die, but you're going to die spiritually. You're going to be separated from God. Do you think she would have entertained that then?
Lord, yeah.
He doesn't do that. Amen. He takes a little bit, and then he gives you that, and he waits to see if you're going to bite. Lord, yeah. You know who else he did it with? Luke, the 4th chapter. Now, you and I are familiar with these passages of Scripture.
Yes.
And you and I both, we all know who these passages of Scripture is talking about. Luke, the 4th chapter, Jesus went into the wilderness to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, now, if the devil is going to challenge Christ, what do you think he's going to do to us?
Right.
We got to be aware, just like Jesus was. It said Jesus was hungry. And the devil said unto him, thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Now, I've often thought about this. Even if Jesus had listened to him, that would have been the best bread ever. But Jesus understood something. The spiritual is far more valuable than the natural. Yes, I'm hungry, but I'm not going to answer to you, Satan, and turn this into bread so I can satisfy my natural hunger.
Amen.
Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. But what are we supposed to live by? Every word that proceedeth from God. And the devil, taking him up in a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Recognize Satan had control at this time. Everything in the world was his. There was no hope for people until Christ died.
Amen.
Devil said unto him, All this power I will give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whosoever I will, I give it. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, how many people out there the enemy has duped and tricked into believing that he can give them whatever they want? And he just may have done that. But they go through their life, and he, every time they take something from him, he puts a hook in them. Jesus understood the worlds that Satan had control of are temporary. And you and I have to understand that too. Satan's got a time frame. And when judgment comes, his gig is over. And here he coming at Jesus with that. He brought him to Jerusalem, set him up on the pinnacle of the temple, said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. Now listen to this. You don't think that Satan knows the scriptures? For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest that at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Where did that come from? Psalms. Satan already knew it. And he thought, well, I'm going to see if I can get Jesus this way. And Jesus answered him, said unto him, It is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. There are things that Satan's going to come bring to us. I call them dangerous fruits. They're exemplified in scriptures, some as fertile fields. Prosperity money. If we're not careful, Satan will use a device against us. Get us so wrapped up in making money that we forget about one thing, Amen. Our eternal soul. And then we forget that one day I am going to leave this world and everything that I have attained to is going to stay here for other people to fight over. There's appetites, there's the flesh, and there's ambition. And Satan has a device that he uses against everyone that he possibly can. You know, I like to go fishing. And often people ask me, well, what are you going to use for bait? You know, the bait doesn't matter. What do I go fishing with? A hook. That's right. Because I know that no matter what bait I use, if I can get that fish to grab that bait, he's going to get my hook, and I'm going to bring him in. Right. All that Satan presents are hooks. Yes. And he has caught many people.
Yes, Lord, yeah. Amen.
He had a start in the Garden of Eden, and he's been going on all this time, hooking people left and right.
Lord,
for we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. The definition of a device is an instrumental invented for the particular purpose. But it's the second definition I want us to pay attention to. A trick or device used to achieve some end. When he causes relationship issues, it's a trick. Because you know what he has in mind? Separation.
Right.
And then you get people's pride involved, and I can't come back and ask for forgiveness because I was so right in what I stood in. I need to create my own now. And we've seen this in this world.
Yeah.
Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verses 27 through 29. Says, an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. A froward man, soweth strife. And a whisperer separates chief friends. A violent man entices his neighbor and leadeth him into a way that is not good. We have witnessed the work of Satan and his devices doing this. Pick up any newspaper.
Right.
Turn on the news. And we can see these things happen. There's another translation I would like to read for this verse 27. It says, idle hands are the devil's workshop, and idle lips are his mouthpiece. For we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. That's why Jesus told us, let our yea be yea, and our nay, nay, because anything else becometh evil. Do you remember Elijah over there when he's dealing with Ahab, those 400 prophets of Baal? And the Lord gave him a great victory. Performed the sacrifice according to the direction of God. The fire came down from heaven, licked it all up, including the water. And then they went out and they slew all of them prophets. Do you remember that person, Jezebel? Idle words. 1 Kings 19 and 2. Somebody get that and read that. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. I don't know if you think about this, but what kind of effect did it have on those people that had just changed and gone back to serving God? This lady's going to kill the prophet that just performed this great miracle in front of us. If she's going to kill them, she's going to kill him, she may kill us too.
Right.
What was it? It was idle words. She had no power. Because the one who had the power was God Almighty.
Amen.
And he told Elijah to do that. So what was she going to do? She going to kill God too? Idle words.
Yeah.
And if you read the scriptures, Elijah lived longer than she did. But Satan sure tried to use it, didn't he? And as a matter of fact, he was a little effective. Because what did Elijah do? He ran and hid somewhere. Afraid of idle words. But you see these actions that are done. Idle hands, idle lips. There's something my parents never let us do, and that was be idle. You need to get a book and read or something. Don't just sit there.
Yeah.
You know why we were sitting there? We felt like we was bored and there was nothing to do. It's cold outside. We can't go out and play. But it was an avenue for the devil to work in here.
Yeah.
Children, the devil wants to work in your mind. He don't care that you're a child.
Yeah.
If he can get something started in there, he will. Now, there are many forms of technology that has been created. And there are some that hold a strong line. Shouldn't have that technology. But I'm going to tell you, technology is just a tool.
Right. True.
The control is in the person's hand who has it.
True.
Now, as I was meditating upon this message, the Lord said, talk about cell phones. I'm not preaching against cell phones. They are a tool that are useful to every single one of us. But we need to beware of Satan's devices. So I looked up some statistics. You may want to look up these statistics later. Some of them come from businessofapps.com. They have a whole article about the history of phones and apps. The other one is Data Reportal. And I marveled at some of the things that I found. Who can remember when cell phones came out? What year was it?
1976.
Were there any apps on that phone? I don't think so. There was, you could dial somebody and you can leave a voicemail. So, these stats are from 2023. I want you to listen to this. Over 55% of the world population, or roughly 4.8 billion people, have social media accounts. So that tells me they either have a phone or a computer. That's today's numbers. Now listen to this. Monthly app usage by age bracket. 65 and up, 51 monthly hours spent on apps. 55 to 64, 69.3 hours spent on apps. 45 to 54, 75.6 hours spent on apps. 35 to 44, 96.3 hours a month spent on apps. 25 to 34, 102.4 hours spent on apps. 18 to 24, 112 hours spent on apps. Now, you could take these numbers and these age brackets, you could put them on a graph, and you could project what the next age group and the age group following after them, their usage will be. Be not ignorant of Satan's devices. If he can't get you to sin, he will try to captivate you and I's time if he can. Then there were some more statistics. Reasons, main reasons for using social media. For the sake of time, I'm not going to list them all, but I'm going to tell you the age groups, and I'm going to tell you what the number one reason for using it. Age 16 to 24, age 25 to 34, age 35 to 44, age 45 to 54, and age 55 to 64. Number one reason, percentage that reported friends and family was 45% to 54%. That's the main reason why the older people were using it. And then there were other miscellaneous things, but I noticed something in the 16 to 24 year old. And this shocked me. 23.6% of them reported that they use it to avoid missing out. Missing out on what? Do you see something happening here? Satan says, I can't get them to sin, but I can get their time. Time is our most valuable commodity. If that generation eliminated avoid missing out and said they had an app for reading their Bible, what would that do to this world? But do you see the trend here? The enemy is working for our time now. You know why? Because he knows his time is short.
Yeah, that's right.
And if I can get you captivated, you know I'm guilty of it too. The Lord gave me this message, so I get it twice. So I really have to be careful. If I can steal your time.
Yes.
Where you're not praying. You're not reading. You're not looking out and seeing the needs that others have and holding up before God in prayer because of your love for them. This is what we got to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Be not ignorant of Satan's devices. The apostle didn't say it was wrong. He said, be not ignorant of it.
Right.
When I used to play basketball in high school, we got a scouting report for the team that we were playing. One particular team, they had a young man that can really shoot the ball. And I happen to be the one that enjoyed stopping people from scoring. And so the coach told me, he said, Aaron, I want you to tell me what kind of gum he's chewing. And I'm like, what do you mean? He said, I want you to stay that close to him. So we are scouting our opponent. He's working in this day and time. He's using these devices to distract you and I from God. And you know what happens? Somebody gets crossed in some relationship issue, and it goes on to social media. And now it's out there for everybody to see. And oftentimes you see things out there, man, they lack wisdom. That shouldn't be on there. You and I have to be careful. You know, there's people that give a synopsis of their whole day on social media. Do you think that somebody could find them at any point in the day based on what they put on there? We got to be wise about these things. It's not for just putting everything on there. It's not for venting our frustrations with somebody else on there.
Amen.
Prayer requests are good to be on there. That's a fast way to get them around.
Yeah.
But you know what happened in the old time? My grandmother's generation, there was no cell phones. And if you try to use the phone to call somebody, you might have to wait till the other call finished because it was one line. But what they did have was they had the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost would tell them, so-and-so needs prayer. My uncle was over in the war, and the Lord woke my grandmother up and said, pray for William. God had social media long before it was ever formed.
Yeah.
It's called the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
He's connected and intertwined in all of our lives.
Yeah.
And he knows what needs we have. He knows when the enemy is coming to get us. I've often heard other testimonies. I felt a strong burden to pray for so-and-so. And they say, what time was it?
Yeah.
And they tell them a time, and it was like, that's when God told me to go to prayer. I didn't know what I was praying for, but it was what was needed. Young people, get a hold of studying the Word of God and not depending on apps to give it to you all the time. Because you're just going to have to sit and you're going to have to listen to God and let Him talk to you. Let Him teach you His ways.
Yes.
We can't modernize everything. It doesn't work. We are up against an old crafty adversary.
Yes.
And he's got all kind of devices. Second Timothy, fourth chapter. Second Timothy 4:3-4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. There's something that I notice about apps on the phone in particular.
Yes.
They all got some kind of jingle. It's called an attention getter. You hear somebody pick up their phone, open their app. If they have their volume up, you hear the jingle. And if you don't recognize it, hey, what is that? Satan's got devices that he's using with regards to the truth. Oh, I like the way this person presents this. You know, books are good. There's a lot of books out there that relate to Christianity. But there is none greater than the Bible.
Amen.
You know what some of those books are like? They're like microwave dinner. You know what a microwave dinner is? I don't have time to cook, so I'm going to put this in there, hit the 2-minute button, and it's ready. And we get that mindset spiritually. I just need a microwave dinner. Sometimes you need a good old-fashioned truth. Because that is what's going to help us make it to heaven. These fables that are out there, these people that can hold our entertain us. They don't have your best interest at heart.
Right.
They're interested in numbers.
True.
God is interested in your eternal soul.
Yes.
And it's going to take, just like you get in that kitchen, you know what? There's times I don't want no store-bought cookies. I don't want all them additives and preservatives. I want to get the ingredients. I want to get the flour and the brown sugar and the baking soda and the chocolate chips and put it together. Mix it up, get the pan out, put them on the pan and cook it. It takes a whole lot longer than what you can get in the store. But there's a satisfaction that comes with it. I've got it there, I've done the work, and there's nothing that tastes as good. Just like when you cook a home-cooked meal. Have you ever tasted a microwave dinner? Lord have mercy. I used to work at a place that sold microwave dinners like hotcakes. And so I said, I got to go see what this is all about. And I'm looking at it. It looked pretty good on the picture. Then I turned over the ingredients, 1,200 milligrams of salt. Now, I wouldn't put 1,200 milligrams of salt on the meal that I'm cooking. Why would I eat that stuff? Give me the old-fashioned truth. Yeah, sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it causes me to be uneasy. But it's good for my soul.
Yes.
Yeah. It's going to help me get to where I want to go.
Yes.
There are some other things that Satan uses. He pretty much can use anything. He can use the food we eat. You ever ate just because you was depressed? Didn't think about it. Well, I'm going to eat this whole bag of chips. This day was terrible. The serving on the back says a certain amount. That bag of candy says 7 pieces. I can say I'm going to have a soda. I don't like the way water tastes. What is your body made of? It's not soda. And Satan can trick you and I and get us to indulge in these things beyond what we should. And the Holy Ghost is in our heart to temper these things. We talked about the words, the things we say.
Yes.
Let me use one more example. Jesus getting ready to go to the cross. Got his disciples with him. Will you watch with me 1 hour? Oh, Lord, we tired. He said 1 hour. They should know that if Jesus says 1 hour, he really needs it. At what other time in the scriptures do you find him ask his disciples to watch with him 1 hour? It was highly important.
Yes.
And the scripture says they got sleepy.
Yes.
The Lord came along. What? Could you watch with me 1 hour? Then after a while, he told them, take your rest. You know, Christ already knew what was going to happen. In particular, old brother Peter, very ambitious, very zealous for the Lord, felt like I can go all the way with him. I could go all the way with him, but I can't pray. That just hit my mind. He asked me to pray with him, and I couldn't pray with him. Peter fell asleep.
Yes.
Jesus went through the agony of praying to get the victory. And then he said, the hour's at hand.
Yes.
He said, let us go. And the men came out there. I'm sure they were armed. Maybe they were anticipating something. Maybe they knew Peter's personality. And Satan's device got a hold of him. A sword. What is the sword for? It's used to fight with.
Yeah.
But if it's not in your hand, it just lays there. It was sheathed in Peter's side. And because he thought he was ready to do everything with Christ except for pray with him, he grabbed that thing without even thinking and went to work. And I'm sure Satan was just a laughing. Look at Peter. Without thinking, he cut a man's ear off. Now, was that the kingdom of God? Was that the gospel that Christ was coming to bring? When somebody attacks you, you get your sword and you cut their ear off. It doesn't say that. And Jesus said, Peter, put the sword away. You know, Jesus could have really told Peter some things then. Now, see, Peter, this is why I wanted you to watch with me. Because I knew you couldn't control yourself. And you would let your emotions get the best of you. And we would be in trouble for it.
Right.
He didn't do that. Picked the man's ear up. Peter, I can fix the wrong that you did. In all these situations that have happened over the years, God is able to put the ear back on.
Amen.
They're souls just like you and I.
Yes.
And they have the same common enemy that you and I have. Old Satan and his devices. And if we allow him to keep them things going, it's going to affect not only that person, it may affect their offspring.
Yeah.
And their offspring's offspring.
Yeah.
All these people will be affected because the gospel has not been able to work like it should. That old time religion that makes me love everybody. Well, I'm remorseful. I see the error of my ways. That's all right, brother. I still love you. Come on back home.
Yeah.
That's what God wants to do.
Amen.
Let's defeat the old devil and his devices. Amen. And break down all these things that's going on.
Yeah.
When they come around, welcome them with open arms. I'm glad to see you. Not we give them that long handshake. I'm going to keep my eye on you. That's not how it works. Let the love of God work. God is greater than anything that can happen. And he can fix it all. One minister used to say he can unscramble the scrambled eggs. For we are not ignorant of Satan's devices.